When the White House Coronavirus Task Force rolled out their strategy for ensuring equity in COVID vaccinations, Neighborhood Health in Northern Virginia is exactly what they had in mind. The health center cares for 40,000 patients, most of them low-income, uninsured, and people of color. This is a population who suffered higher rates of infection and death from COVID. Neighborhood Health was one of the first of the 250 health centers chosen for the Community Health Center COVID-19 vaccine program. They set up 7 vaccination sites located in churches, community centers, and retail areas, and are working in partnership with local churches, agencies, and safety net organizations to get shots in the arms. At peak, Neighborhood Health was vaccinating up to 5,000 people a week. And that got President Biden's attention. Last April, he paid the health center a visit.
Is this where you're registered?
Yes, this is where I'm registered. Check them in.
And can they just show up to register? Or they have to need an appointment to come?
Yeah, they need to have an appointment. So we usually ask them for their license, their insurance card, and ask them what time they come in. You know, tell them how are you, be polite, everything. And just check them in and then sit them down.
And roughly how many people a day do you have come through?
And we're fortunate to have with us today one of the people who is on hand to answer the president's questions during his visit. We have Dr. Basim Khan, Executive Director of Neighborhood Health, and I'm your host, Amy Simmons-Farber. I wanted to start with where we are now. The U.S. is in a pivotal moment with the Delta variant causing another pandemic of the unvaccinated. How is this changing your ground game at Neighborhood Health?
I think it's great to be on. Thank you for having me. And you know what I would say about the Delta variant is it reinforces the importance of trying to get as many people as possible vaccinated so that they're protected, because the vast majority of people who are being impacted by this variant are people who have not yet received a vaccine. And our goal is to reduce any barriers that might exist for vaccination, to really get out there into the community and engage people where they are, to make it as easy as possible to get the vaccine, to share information with them, and just to be there in places where, for people who might not otherwise have gone to a center or some other place to get vaccinated. So our focus is really community-based. We have a lot of pop-up events, a lot of mobile events that we're doing, in various different parts of the community. And our focus is just to try to get out there and get as many people vaccinated as possible.
Dr. Khan, tell us a little bit about your patient population and if they are subject to what we're hearing about misinformation on social media, where they're getting their information sources. Is this a concern for you as a community health center physician?
Our patient population is primarily low income, uninsured, immigrants, people of color. And like anyone else, they are susceptible to misinformation. And there is a lot of misinformation that's floating around in social media. And that is a concern for us. And there's a baseline level of mistrust and anxiety as well. However, there are ways to overcome this misinformation, and that comes through a lot of one-on-one engagement. And as physicians, as clinicians, as people in a healthcare setting, we're used to this one-on-one engagement with our patients. And that's really important for a patient to be able to hear from his or her clinician about the importance of getting vaccinated. For the ability to answer questions one-on-one is really critical, and it does have an impact. And I don't think anyone should underestimate the impact that has. In addition, we're working out in the community to try to reach people who are not our patients yet from underserved populations. And in doing so, we're relying on trusted messengers, whether it's our own physicians trying to get out there in the community and our own clinicians to be able to put out a message. But in addition, faith leaders and other people who the community trusts, we're enlisting them to be able to get the information out there and really engage with people one-on-one to try to get them more comfortable in getting vaccinated.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because this has been about your hallmark approach has been leveraging partnerships with faith leaders, with churches, with social organizations, and Latino and Asian community organizations. Can you tell us about this? Is this a successful model that you think other health centers should follow? in building trust?
We think it is. And at the onset of our vaccine effort, we understood and acknowledged that our focus would be equity in vaccination, to try to reach the populations who have been most impacted by COVID. And of course, our patient population is that, and that, you know, that was the lowest hanging fruit, if you will, to try to reach out to our patients and their relatives. But we needed to figure out a way to reach underserved populations who are not already being served by our health system. And we felt that the best way to do that was to really engage with our community partners, with different organizations and entities that work with similar patient populations. So it was the faith community, a lot of churches, especially Black churches or churches that serve some of the immigrant or ethnic communities that we want to get vaccinated. In addition, it was nonprofits in a whole host of areas, whether it's food assistance, social services, housing. In addition, it was local agencies that, you know, provide services to you know, the populations we're trying to reach. So we connected with them and we said, listen, you know, this was back when it was difficult to get vaccinated. We said, listen, if you're able to refer patients to us or refer your clients to us or your parishioners to us, we'll make sure there's no line. We'll make sure we get them in really quickly. We'll make sure it's convenient for them. And working with over 100 different groups, we were able to get a lot of referrals from the community. And ultimately, it's what our whole model is built on. Our whole focus has been working with community partners hand in hand, because they're able to reach people that we are not able to reach and to ensure that they get vaccinated.
And is this approach working now as we're sort of scaling back the mobile vaccination effort, mobilization effort, excuse me, but and now you're focusing on more of an individualized approach to building the vaccine confidence. Is the same partnerships working with you on that change of strategy?
It is, and I'm glad you brought that up, because as you know, back in April, the strategy changed. A lot of the larger vaccine sites had to close because of lower demand. And perhaps the more difficult ground game of reaching people in smaller numbers out in the community began in more earnest. And, you know, it's the same model to some degree, because we realize that we can't do it on our own. We can't just go and set up shop in some community without engaging with the community or with, you know, entities in the community that have trust, that have a presence there and are able to bring people to us. So we've been partnering with low-income housing and really connecting with them and trying to find ways to reach their residents. We've been partnering with churches. We've been partnering with other social services agencies. And what's been really helpful has been pairing our work with what they're doing. So there might be a food distribution drive and we offer vaccinations there. There might be some celebration or some other event and we offer vaccinations there. So it's really pairing our efforts with what they're already doing to really draw people in. And of course, the other part of this that you can't overlook is literally going door to door. We have been doing that. We have community health workers who go out door to door and try to get people to get vaccinated. So in this effort, it's sort of an all-of-the-above approach. You try every avenue you can to try to reach the most people, and if certain things work better than others, then you adjust accordingly.
Going back to your use of community health workers and the knocking on doors, do you feel like you're in a kind of a race against time as this Delta variant is creating spikes in different states?
We do feel that we're in a race against time, and we feel a sense of urgency, because when you get vaccinated, you're not protected right away. You need to get the first dose. And with the mRNA vaccines, there's a second dose, and then it's 2 weeks after the second dose. So it takes some time for someone to get protected. So it's really important for people to get vaccinated as quickly as possible. And yes, we do feel that we're in a race against time, especially with the emergence of this Delta variant and an increase in cases. While it's focused in certain areas around the country where the vaccination levels are lower, we are seeing some increase pretty much everywhere. So we are trying to get people vaccinated as quickly as possible.
And so you're seeing an increase of cases at your health center as well, among the unvaccinated, or?
We are. It's very small in our health center, but in Northern Virginia, more generally, we are seeing an increase in cases. And I think they've doubled in the last few weeks from a relatively low number. So it's nothing. It's not as much as compared to other parts of the country, but we're definitely seeing an increase. And you know, we're preparing for a further increase and trying to get as many people vaccinated as possible.
And now that the FDA has approved the Pfizer vaccine for 12 and older, and the J&J and Moderna vaccines for 18 and over, I think that's correct, right? That's what's been approved. Now we're now have the opportunity to vaccinate younger people, and you're just now starting out with this effort. Do you use a different approach to reach the younger patients who are vulnerable?
It takes more of an effort in some ways because there perhaps isn't as much of a motivation, because obviously COVID, the impacts are greater in the elderly and not as much in the younger population. So it takes a little bit more convincing. The other issue is obviously around parental consent and ensuring that, you know, the parent accompanies a child, or we're able to get consent in some other way, so that, you know, creates a little bit more work as well. So it is more work, but, you know, that's how the vaccine effort is in general. The days where you had a big vaccine center and people were just lining up to get vaccinated, you know, those days are behind us, and now you really have to get out there and engage people one-on-one and put in the extra effort to make sure that people get vaccinated. So it's more work, but it's work that we're, you know, happily doing, and we know it's really important.
Your health center was one of the initial 250 health center sites to receive the direct allocation. So you were sort of early in the process with this. Going through the last few months in terms of launching this effort, can you share some of the lessons learned, some of the mistakes you made early on that you corrected, that you would advise other health centers to follow?
Absolutely. You know, I think for us, probably the biggest point is the willingness and the ability to adjust whatever strategy you're using to the realities on the ground. You might try one thing and it doesn't work, so then you shift and try something else. We've had to do that a lot of times through this effort, as just the situation has changed, as demand has decreased in certain populations. We had to shift from larger sites to more efforts in the doctor's offices and in our actual health centers, because we had off-site clinics. And then in addition to that, more community-based efforts. And a lot of times the community-based efforts, there's a lot of variety in terms of how successful you are. We might have some events where we vaccinate 150 people, but the next day we might have an event where we vaccinate 5 people. We just have to learn whatever lessons we can learn from that. But also realize that even if you vaccinate 5 people, there's some inherent value in that, because those were 5 people who were not vaccinated before you reached out to them. But nevertheless, it's definitely a learning process, and we just have to have that nimbleness and that ability to change as things go along. The other point I would emphasize is never forgetting what the purpose of this is. And obviously, it's to try to get as many people vaccinated as possible. But in our case, it's really to ensure that the focus remains on the populations who've been most impacted by the pandemic and who are least likely to get vaccinated in perhaps a more traditional setting. So it's that laser-like focus on equity and on reaching underserved populations that is really underlying our entire effort. And being able to consistently remember that is really important as the process continues and as so many other things change in the process. That's one thing that hasn't changed.
That's absolutely valuable information there. And I also remember in our previous conversation, you were telling me about the value of integrating primary care into building trust, and that you had had a series of conversations with the patient who was reluctant to get the vaccine. Do you remember that story that you told us in the last conversation?
I do, and it's a telling story. You know, I have, you know, fortunately, many of my patients have received the vaccine, and it just goes to show the importance of the relationship between a primary care clinician and the patient. If you look at surveys you know, Americans across the spectrum are saying that the people that they're most likely to trust are their primary care physician or their primary care clinician. So one shouldn't underestimate the importance of those interactions. As you know, and as perhaps a lot of the audience know, in primary care, however, there's a lot going on. You know, and sometimes prioritizing things and fitting everything in can be difficult. So, but, you know, what I'd say is that among these priorities, COVID vaccination really is so critical. So health centers and primary care practices really need to put in the effort to develop the workflows to ensure that every single person walking through their door, whether it's a patient or someone who accompanies a patient, is offered a vaccine. We have to find a way to do this. And this is what we do in primary care. We, you know, flag patients if they're overdue for colon cancer screening or some other preventive care intervention. And COVID vaccination is no different, and perhaps at this point in time, even more important. And we should never underestimate the effect that these interventions or those one-on-one conversations will have, because you never know where people may stand. I had a patient who, you know, tends to resist a lot of preventive care interventions. You know, she tends to resist getting a mammogram and other cancer screenings, flu shots. So when the COVID vaccine came up, I told her about the vaccine. I listened to her and her concerns. But very quickly, she said that she was just not going to do it. You know, she didn't trust it, and she needed more time to even consider it. But nevertheless, we had a respectful conversation. I told her how much I cared for her and her well-being, as I always have. And I told her why I thought she should get vaccinated. And I left the door open for future conversations in case she had any questions. I didn't assume that the job would be done with just one conversation. And even though she said no, and, you know, frankly, I wasn't even that optimistic based on her previous history, I noticed that 2 weeks later she signed up to get vaccinated, which, you know, I thought was incredible because, you know, I've yet to get her to do so many other things. And the lesson for me is, don't make assumptions. You don't know where your patients are when it comes to vaccination. And it's always worth having that respectful conversation with them, because it might go a long way. And ultimately, in many of their cases, in some of their cases, it might save their life.
And we always talk about the role of health centers as trust ambassadors. And it, to me, what it's so you are saying is that building trust requires a series of conversations. And that's what health centers offer as a provider of care.
It does. It's a long-term relationship. And that long-term relationship is the basis, and that trust that comes from that, that familiarity, is the basis of so much positive in primary care. And COVID vaccines are no different. I've had ongoing conversations with patients about different topics that have lasted weeks or months or even years. And it's through that engagement where you get to understand where they're coming from. And then it gives you the highest likelihood of being able to make an impact and move, you know, things in a certain direction.
You have been at this fighting COVID for 18 months, over 18 months now. What was one of the hardest challenges for you as a health center physician?
I think so many challenges. Seeing our patient population get so impacted by this pandemic was difficult. They were getting infected in higher numbers because of their risk factors. Many were ending up in the hospital. You know, we've lost patients. I've lost, you know, patients of mine as well. And that's difficult and incredibly stressful. But in addition to that, the stress on staff has been immense. The stress of ensuring that you're safe, that, you know, your staff are, you know, they're able to keep their families safe. The stress of the pandemic in their daily lives outside of the healthcare setting. All of that has been challenging. But also the stress of really having to step up and really having to not only manage, you know, stay safe, continue to provide primary care, but then also really respond to the pandemic with testing and treatment and vaccination. And I would say, even though it's been really stressful, you know, I couldn't be more proud of our staff and just the incredible heroic efforts that they've done and the way that they've stepped up and they've, you know, really taken ownership of this problem and the pride that they've had and, you know, being of service to our community and the patients we serve in this really difficult time. You know, I couldn't be more proud of what they've done, and I couldn't be more inspired. And, you know, that's helped all of us going forward.
Just one final question. What concerns you the most about the Delta variant right now?
You know, what concerns me is how much more transmissible it is, whereby people might have been protected in certain circumstances with an earlier variant. With the Delta variant, their likelihood of infection, obviously if they've not been vaccinated more so, is something that concerns me. What also concerns me is people are tired of the pandemic. They want it to be over. They're tired of the restrictions. People don't want to mask. But the pandemic isn't over. And in some ways with the Delta variant, in certain respects, it's worse. And that fatigue is what, that's what worries me. It also worries me that things are going to get worse potentially as we go into the fall. And we really need to make sure that we get people and vaccinated as much as possible so that we're best prepared to face them.
Have I left anything out in terms of questions? Is there anything that you would like to add or tell us today?
The one thing is our team has given 60,000 vaccines. We just crossed that milestone. Of course, the overwhelming majority are in underserved communities, and it's an achievement that we're really proud of, that we've been able to contribute to this effort in that way. And health centers across the country are really contributing to the effort in the communities that have been most impacted, front and center. So we're really proud and grateful to be part of that.
16,000 shots. That's really amazing. Oh, 60,000 shots. 60,000. And thanks to your work with the partnerships and the alliances that you've built in the community to build trust. And hopefully that will continue in the race against the Delta variant. Dr. Khan, I want to thank you for joining us today and for your work on the front lines of COVID. Thank you very much.